cost you nothing. This one's for free.
Welcome to Chris Marr's opinion piece on how to examine in general practice. Chris Marr is a GP with years of experience as a CSA examiner. Our recording starts with a summary of his key messages of how to examine patients in the CSA and in GP consultations. Chris then shares his thoughts about how time-pressured GPs and CSA candidates should be examining their patients and their role-play actors.
Think about the reasons why we examine patients. Think about the factors that influence your decision-making. Case-based discussion is particularly good for this, as this is an integral part of that decision-making. Practice examining to ensure that you're proficient. Tailor your examination to the problem or patient in front of you. Always think of the most serious diagnosis and then the more likely, and examine accordingly. Choice of examination and timing are really important. And tailored safety netting is a vital part of risk management. I want to talk a little bit about examination in the clinical skills assessment. And I think it's important for us to think about why we examine patients first. For me, I think there are three key reasons. The first is to gather data to help with decision-making or test a hypothesis. The second is as part of clinical management. Patients expect to be examined, and examination can be used from a therapeutic point of view and to reassure patients. This is very different to data gathering. And thirdly, because that's what good doctors do. That's what we've been trained to do all of our professional lives, from medical school onwards. And many candidates in the CSA think that they should examine patients fully because examiners expect us to examine patients in the same way that possibly we did when we were medical students. But of course, this is not the case and cannot be done in 10 minutes in a consultation, either in the exam or in real life. These are all good reasons why we examine patients, but we need to try and gain some insight into just why we examine. The majority of candidates in the CSA struggle because they spend too much time gathering data. If we look at the flows chart that I use for teaching, the box that we are thinking about is called focused data gathering. I tend to talk about focused data gathering rather than history and examination. And there's a good reason for this. We're all taught as medical students to take a history first and then examine patients, usually in that sequence. And this works fine when we've got a lot of time. But in general practice, we have to be more efficient in our data gathering because of time constraints in the consultation. I do realise that this is not always the case, but when we're discussing data gathering in the CSA, this is certainly important. There are three key elements to examination: what we examine, when we examine, and how we examine. For someone who presents with a headache, do we always examine all 12 cranial nerves? Which ones do we test and why? Which ones do we miss out and why? For someone with back pain, do we always test straight leg raising? What about perianal sensation? Many doctors would certainly advocate testing all aspects from a medical legal point of view, and while I accept this argument, it will mean that you will probably run into time difficulties in the CSA. So how do you decide what to do? Well, some of this comes down to risk management and safety netting. There are risks when you miss out aspects of a full examination and a consultation. History is so important, and formulating a hypothesis that you are then going to explore in a consultation depends very much on probability and pattern recognition. This is essentially thinking about the most likely diagnosis and looking for patterns in the history and examination that support this. A tailored safety net is a way that I ensure that if I miss something, the patient will hopefully flag this up to me at a later stage. And the key aspect there is tailored safety netting. It's not just a case of come back and see me if it doesn't get better, but the safety net is tailored to the individual case. Taking a good history is key, and many of my consultations don't involve physical examination. And often I'll only do this just to confirm what I already think, or it forms part of clinical management, that whole thing about the doctor didn't even examine me. Going back to our patient with the headache, do we always look at the fundi? Is this to help with data gathering, or does it form part of clinical management? How often does fundoscopy help with our decision making? If I took your ophthalmoscope away for a day, would that stop you making decisions and giving good care? What about your oroscope or your stethoscope? Think about what we examine and why. Do you always have to look at a sore ear? If it's red, if it's not red, does that influence your decision making? Maybe it does, and how? Can you deal with a painful ear on the telephone, just using the history and no examination? How do you manage risk or safety net in these situations? Do you really have to see the tympanic membrane to make a decision? These are key areas to think about. I'm not saying don't examine patients, but I want you to think about the reasons why we examine. If examining someone's fundi is partly to help reassure a patient that you know what you're doing, and if this helps with the clinical management, that's fine, do it. But be aware that this may not simply be part of data gathering. Over the years, I've often said to trainees, what if I said you can only examine three aspects of this patient? Which are they and why? If you were unable to touch a patient 3 to 4 times and you had to explain why you were doing it each time, how would that focus your decision making? This just helps us think about what is important in our decision making when it comes to examination. If we think about the four quadrants of the abdomen, which ones give us the most information, and how do we decide which areas to concentrate on? The history here is key. If we examine a patient's chest, do we always percuss and listen for vocal resonance? Some doctors always do this, some never do it, and some will do this when they feel it's an important part of the data gathering in a particular case. So how do we decide? Choice of examination and timing are really important. Think of the question, what factors influence your decision making? If parts of the examination are an integral part of your decision making, then do it early. Don't slavishly follow the history examination sequence like a medical student. If someone presents with a left-sided headache and possible GCA, giant cell arteritis, when would you touch their temporal artery? Do you wait until you've asked all the relevant history questions, only to find that it's not tender? Do you touch it as soon as it's reasonably okay to do so, to help with your decision-making? If it is or isn't tender, then the rest of the consultation takes a different path. So how do you decide when to do it? It's an integral part of your decision-making in this example, not just random information gathering. In the CSA, and in consultations generally, always think of the most serious condition and examine with this in mind. Then think of the most likely and examine with this in mind. Wells criteria, which we use for the diagnosis of DVT, is a very good example of focused data gathering, telling you the most important aspects of the history and examination to help you decide what to do. It even gives you a scoring system to help you. But the most important aspect of Wells score for me is the last question, which scores -2. Is there a more likely diagnosis? Always think of the more likely diagnosis when consulting and examine for that too. For example, it may be a calf strain and the examination would be different. In the CSA, if you're going to examine someone, make sure you do it properly, especially examinations that you may not practice regularly. For example, use of a peak flow meter or visual field testing. Choice of examination is so important in the exam. Always explain to the patient what you're doing. The website for the RCGP tells you what you should bring in your doctor's bag. BNF, stethoscope, ophthalmoscope, oroscope, tape measure, peak flow meter and disposable mouthpieces. There's no need to bring a sphygmomanometer. You may examine a patient if you feel it's appropriate to the consultation, but intimate examination shouldn't be carried out. If the role player feels that a proposed examination would be personally intrusive, they'll decline the examination. If you decide that a physical examination forms an important part of your assessment of the case, you should examine the patient and your technique may be marked. You'll not normally find an abnormal physical sign, but you should examine the patient in such a way that you would find them if they were present. Occasionally, the examiner or the role player will give you the results of an examination after you have sought permission to perform it, instead of agreeing to the examination. The two key areas that relate to examination in the CSA exam are data gathering and interpersonal skills. the negative indicators are, for data gathering, appears unsure of how to operate or use instruments, appears disorganised, unsystematic in the application of the instruments or the conduct of physical examinations. For interpersonal skills, the negative indicators, when conducting examination, appears unprofessional and at risk of hurting or embarrassing the patient. No one should really be examining like this in the exam. If we look at the guidance from the RCG website and some of the comments for the failing criteria, does not undertake physical examination competently or use instruments proficiently. Examiners felt that you could improve your physical examination skills. You should be able to demonstrate the appropriate and fluent use of instruments in a way that does not distress patients with their full understanding of what you are doing and their consent. Improving these skills is a matter of practice, and it pays to spend time developing a systematic method that you can repeat over and over again. Make sure your technique is correct, otherwise you'll simply be reinforcing bad habits. And once correct techniques are practiced and become fluent, your approach will appear competent and confident to the examiner. You should always explain what you're proposing to do in an examination to the patient and why you are doing it. In the case of independent examinations, and they do occur in the CSA, you should make absolutely sure that you've gained informed consent and offered a chaperone. So, in summary, think about the reasons why we examine patients. Think about the factors that influence your decision-making. Case-based discussion is particularly good for this, as this is an integral part of that decision-making. Practice examining to ensure that you're proficient. Tailor your examination to the problem or patient in front of you. Always think of the most serious diagnosis and then the more likely, and examine accordingly. Choice of examination and timing are really important. And tailored safety netting is a vital part of risk management.